It's my review. The review.
Hey girl, hey.
Warning, guys.
Reference to sex and sexual violence in this one. So if you're a kid, say no. So we're gonna go into Keisha the Skit by Jade LV. Let's start with the storyline. Wow. This storyline is oh my god. Okay, so it's basically if 50 Shades of Grey was in the hood. I think she does well to portray a young teenager back in those days living in the ends in secondary school stage of life, because I really related with my 15, 13, 14 year old self. Reading through it, I could remember thinking the way that she was thinking about certain things, especially about myself. The forward made me think so deeply about how I really viewed life and how I really viewed being a black young woman. They put in the excerpts of what she had done back in the day exactly as it was written, and then it was rewritten in better English, I guess? And then she completed the story. And I do love the way that she kind of brought it together. But even in the compare and contrast between the two, I just loved the rawness of the original text, if I can call it that. I was a little bit disappointed that it kind of ended on a good note, but it was a realistic note, so I guess it's a breath of fresh air to have something realistic as an ending. And yeah, I like that. The writing, I was bamboozled by the writing. I actually text my sister to find out, did we really write like this back in the day? She's a great writer. She's a great storyteller. She captures the moment and captures you, because any other book written in such terrible English, I would have put down. I would love to read things by her in the future. I found it beautiful that we could have a black British author that can bring about a literary piece of art, because when my sister told me about the storyline and then I saw them writing about it as a literary masterpiece and it'll be a piece of our time, I was like, yeah, come off it, it's not gonna be that. It's one that can help young ladies, especially young black ladies of our time, to kind of own who they are and walk with their head held up high. And that's not to say that they won't make mistakes or do things that they will regret, but even as they do that, being able to use a sister's knowledge to kind of maneuver through life a bit. Life lessons. I related with how she explained that black women, or she herself, looked negatively upon herself based on cultural norms and religious norms, and how she felt placed in a box of needing to be a certain way to be accepted and to be loved. And in as much as I don't agree with everything she said, I had to take that on the chin and acknowledge and accept how cultural norms and religious norms can sometimes cause people to feel less than and to feel like they cannot make the mistake. Whereas I believe that both cultural and religious norms come from a place where it's to protect the people within those communities, and when taught right, they can teach young people, young women of different ethnicities, to be able to walk in a way that they can address issues as they come and leave knowing that they've dealt with it the best way they could and leave with their head held up high. I hated how right she was about how we as black women can view sexual assaults, and it took me back to an experience I had in secondary school where I was sexually assaulted by a friend, and I came back to school the next day pretending that everything was okay, and like nothing had ever happened, still hanging out with the same people, still busting the same jokes. And it was very painful to read it that way, because I was just thinking, if I were to advise somebody that I was mentoring or my future daughter, I wouldn't tell them to deal with it the same way that I did. So it did make me kind of sad to acknowledge and accept that the way that she explained it is what it really is. If I'm very honest with you, for the foreword alone, I would say that it's worth buying the book and reading it, because it's just something I wouldn't even want to explain on her behalf, but she does it so well and caused me to think so much that, yeah, her therapy, she paid for therapy and it's helping us all. A Christian take. I must agree that as Christians, we can be quite rigid in our views and openness when it comes to sex and sexuality. I categorically disagree with the notion that promiscuity is the way to freedom. I don't believe that we need to be a slave to our sexual desires at all. I believe that we are created to worship, and the mindset of sex ruling our lives stems from a place of worshipping sex as something that is greater than what it is. And I'm not throwing aside the fact that it can be or is a big part of our lives. I can openly acknowledge and accept that the conversations when it comes to sex and sexuality within the Christian sphere needs to be more open and more things, yeah, We need to talk about more things when it comes to those things so that the world does not give us the narrative of what it should be. I also acknowledge and openly accept that as women, especially women of colour and especially women in church, we don't necessarily, or we're not generally as vocal about what we enjoy when it comes to sex or what we would like to try, explore when it comes to sex, because we don't want to be viewed in a certain way. And obviously I'm talking about within marriage, because I believe in sex within marriage, but I'm sure that within the Christendom, marriages that break down, some of them would be to do with sexual incompatibility. And it's one of the things that I think that we should openly talk about when we are in committed relationships leading up to marriage. I do believe that, I don't think we should talk about it with everybody, because why does the next guy need to know what I like in bed? It's none of your business, mate. But I think that it's something that we should talk about, and I think that it's something to pray about. For as long as I've been praying about my future marriage, I have been praying about sexual compatibility with my husband from the day that we meet to the day that we die, because I don't want any, oh yeah, we're great at the beginning, and 30 years later, we just go off each other. No, I don't want sex to be a problem, as much as I don't want other things to be a problem. So it's something I talk to God about, and I'm very, very open about those things with God, because if not him, then who else? Why am I talking to my best friend about it? Because she ain't going to be able to do anything about that. I aim at the guy, she aim at the guy, what's she going to do? So I talk to God about it, because it is something that I don't want to be a problem, and it's something that I hope we continue to open up more to as Christians growing up in Christ. So that's it for Keisha the Skep. My God. So have you read it? If not, are you planning to read it? What are your thoughts if you have? Tell me. I cannot wait to hear what you guys thought about this book, if you've read it, what you're thinking about it going into it, if you're going to read it. So that's our first book of 2022, guys. And I'm going to see you on the next one in 4 weeks. Love you guys. Speak to you soon. Bye. It's my review. The review. That's all the clubbing I'm going to be getting in my life, so that's not the storyline. She's kept herself all hidden, though. Bye.
It's my review. The review.